Hi, this is Tanya, and I'm here with Alan, who is going to discuss what it's like coming from Mexico and living the American dream. So, Alan, where did you grow up and what part of Mexico?
So I was born in Tijuana, Mexico, and I was in the Colonia Independencia, which is up on a hill in TJ. And I lived there for about 4 or 5 months before my parents and I immigrated to San Diego, where I would eventually, this is where I grew up, basically.
All right, and then so what was the main reason why your family wanted to come to San Diego?
The main reason why my parents wanted to move here was because of the opportunities. My mom had a lot of siblings, older siblings that had found a lot of work here, and they were making more money. So I think, my parents just wanted to provide a better future for me. I think they wanted to live a little more comfortably. And my parents met at work, and I think they worked really well together. So I think they just really wanted to cultivate a bright future for me, the American dream and all of that. So I did move out here when I was a baby, and I think it was within a few years that they were able to start applying for citizenship. And because they were able to give me a chance as well. So this was back in the late 80s. So it was a little bit more simpler in terms of like how the process was. But I do remember that when I turned 5 or 6, because of this citizenship process that I was going through, I couldn't leave the country for about 5 years.
Really?
And then I got a, and I remember I was given, once I think the process was approved to start, I got this card. I remember this identification card that said resident alien. And that was my card for like 5 years. And I remember that because I would find it funny that I was being called an alien. I was like 5 and 6. I'm like, why am I an alien?
Oh
And
no.
but for 5 years, I couldn't leave the country, which meant I couldn't go back to Tijuana. I had to stay here in San Diego. I have a younger brother and a younger sister. They're both born here. But because, and so because they are born here, they were able to go visit Tijuana and come back. So growing up, like for 5 years, I witnessed my siblings go to Mexico and come back, and I'd be so jealous. They'd come back with all these like candy and stories, and they'd be talking about, Tijuana. So I kind of grew up seeing Tijuana in my head as like this like mythic place, that I would hear about all the time, but I couldn't go to. And because I was, even though I was born there and I knew that, it felt kind of strange that I couldn't go to the
So
place where
close
I was
yet so
from.
far away. So close yet so far away.
Exactly. The border was like maybe 10, 15 minutes away from my house, but I
Interesting.
couldn't cross it. So I do remember feeling a bit left out, especially as a kid. You just want to have the same fun that, your siblings are having. So I did feel a little bit left out there, but eventually I did
I was going to ask,
get
yeah,
my.
did you end up going eventually?
I did end up going eventually. I think around 10, 9 or 10, that did happen. I think it was like 5th or 6th grade, and then it just became my favorite place. Like my grandmother and my aunt lived there, and they were like my favorite people. So every weekend we'd go out there. So I spent a lot of time in Tijuana growing up after that.
Amazing. Amazing. Now, when your parents came here, did they face any kind of racialization or was it hard? I know your dad, ended up being a business owner for a long time. Was it hard for them to do that?
It was really hard for them to kind of acclimate. They're not native English speakers. They didn't know English very well, so it was very hard for them. And also, my parents are they're a bit more conservative. They're a bit more, I guess, on the shy side. So that on top of not knowing the language, now looking back, I can only imagine how daunting that must have been for them to find work. But they did. My dad ended up working at this leather store where they sold a lot of leather jackets, which is where he cultivated his love for sewing and creating that kind of stuff, which led to him getting his own business. And my mom, I do remember she wanted to work, and then she ended up working at the Marriott as a housekeeper. And so she worked there, you know, almost full time while having three kids.
Yeah.
And I do remember her working really hard. And so I mean, it was tough for them, you know, it was really tough for them. They couldn't get really great jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had to kind of just get the jobs that they could because of the language barrier. And we grew up, and I remember feeling poor because of, compared to what other cousins had and other classmates had. And my parents, they always argued about money. Yeah. Like, I could always feel that stress, you know. So yeah. I do know as a kid that even though I didn't know all the details, that was an impression on me, which was like the struggle to make sure that we were being fed, taken to the doctor. I mean, it was like, it was a struggle to have me. I remember one Christmas, we didn't even have money for a big tree. We had this like miniature tree, Christmas tree, and we only had one gift each that Christmas. And I do remember, I was a bit older then. I think I was like maybe 8. And I remember thinking, I knew that Santa wasn't a thing at that point.
Yeah.
And I do remember thinking like, oh man, like I think my parents are struggling, you know? So I mean, they never really told me anything about these struggles, except that there was no money.
Yeah.
I asked for something.
Yeah.
it was definitely tough for them, for sure.
Yeah. I think now that you're older, you look back and you see what the big picture was and why they did that, and you understand, you know what I mean, why things, you know, were, you know, the way they were.
And 100%.
Yeah, and still going. So still business owner to this day. And also too, Ellen, I want to, you know, speak on, you know, your, what you ended up doing and how you went to Canada to go to film school. I mean, what was this, 15 years ago?
Yeah, this was back in 2008, I believe, is when I took off to Vancouver, which is, coming up on 20 years almost. Yeah. And I remember growing up, I was very sheltered, so I was only watching kids' movies, Disney movies. My mom was very strict in that. But I remember seeing Star Wars for the first time at the age of 7.
Yeah.
And I remember watching that, and my mind was blown. And I remember thinking, who the fuck did that? Like, who made this?
Yeah, right.
Like, what?
Yeah.
And I remember that so clearly because I was like, I want to do something. Like, I want to do that. Like,
yeah.
Whose job is it to do that? Because I want that job.
Yeah.
And I just became obsessed with film after that. And my aunt and my grandmother, they were like encouraging me so much. You know, they believed in me. They were, you know, they were grandma and aunt. And, like, I was like the first nephew, the first grandson. So they gave me so much love, so much attention.
Yeah.
And even though I didn't really get, my parents were really worried about their own stuff, you know, like money and all that, so they didn't really like take to my new obsession very well, or they just didn't really have the time for it. But my grandmother and my aunts, they really championed me. They're like, oh, you're gonna be the first Mexican to win best director. So that was my dream for a very long time. It's no longer my dream because there's like 4 of them that have won already. Which is great. They were always so encouraging of like pursuing my dreams. So it was, you know, that was kind of what I, and thank God for them, because I don't think if it was for them, I would have had the passion that I did. But yes, eventually I decided to go for it. I got into a car accident the summer of 2007, and I remember thinking like, man, I feel like I could have died, and I died not doing what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of my wake-up call to go to film school.
Yeah, and now you're in multiple commercials, you make short films, you're working on a movie now.
Yes, and now I can say I'm a lucky working actor. You know,
who has an agent? Who has an agent?
I have an agent.
That's what I was most excited about to show off, is that you have an agent. So I mean, it really is to see the full picture. You know what your parents fought for you to bring you over here to see you succeed. And I tell him all the time that he's gonna become this famous actor, director, and then he's gonna take care of his parents, and it's all gonna be, you know, worth it. So, you know,
100%, yes.
So how do your parents feel in the current climate though, with when it comes to, how does it feel in San Diego? Because I know how it feels here in the desert, which is scary. I'm seeing videos every day, but how does it feel there?
I mean, it's stressful, you know, to be quite honest with you. It's been, well, I'll be real honest with you. Mm-hmm. My family is very conservative and Republican.
Okay.
I am not like the rest of my family.
Neither am I. So we are in the same boat. I am nothing like my Republican family either. Yes.
Yeah. So there's a bit, and it's interesting because they are Mexican.
Yes.
And are from an immigrant family. So I think that goes to show how much manipulation, how much, man, I don't know what it is.
I say it's the Kool-Aid. They're drinking the Kool-Aid. You know what I mean? It's some kind of Kool-Aid. Yes. My aunt, she's very intelligent, and still she is a Trump supporter till this day, where my mother can lose her Medicare, and it's still, oh, well, you're not going to lose it. And I'm like, that's not how that works. So it's just, and I find myself trying to agree to disagree right now with people in these views, and I can't. Even I have my mom saying how, and my mom's very, I'll ask her who she voted for last election, and she won't tell me, which answers that question for me. But she talks about the ICE raids and how sad it is. And, you know, I work in a hotel and I go to work and I'm noticing that I'm not seeing those ladies, you know what I mean? That are just trying to make a living for their family. And I notice it got real scarce, at work. And it makes me cry every day, you know?
I think there's just a lot to, I mean, it's really sad. It makes me really angry, but it also makes me just kind of, I just don't know what to make of it. You have all these, you know, they were able to get to the immigrants themselves to vote for this man.
Yes, right.
And I think, and that's to me like, wow, that's kind of crazy. One of the things that I was able to kind of pinpoint to maybe why, at least in the case with my family, because they're deeply religious. And I think in the past, religion hasn't had the place that it has now in politics.
Yeah, you're right.
I think politicians haven't given it the light that it has been given currently. So I think for people who identify themselves through their religion, this is like someone's giving them attention.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you're so deeply invested in a belief system, then they got you.
Yeah.
Then that's how they manipulate you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When Donald Trump showed up with like the Bible in his hand, like,
right,
that's all he needed to do, even though all you got to do is a little critical thinking, like, do you really think this man reads this book?
No, I don't think he's ever read a chapter. You know, I always think about the movie The Book of Eli with Samuel Jackson, or is it Samuel? Remember The Book of Eli, where Gary Oldman wants the Bible because he knows that if he has the Bible, he can control the people. So yes, during the whole film, and it was all in. So it's just him. I recommend that movie to people all the time when they're asking about that. I'm going to watch The Book of Eli. You'll understand. But I know because I grew up a very religious Baptist, and
that's
Christmas
how they get
is hard.
You. I think that's
Christmas
part of
is
it.
Hard. Christmas is hard, I'll tell you. Yeah, Christmas time is hard.
No.
So you get it.
And 100%. And I'm literally, actually, I thought my dad was the more, like, he's always been like very, me and my dad are kind of on the same wavelengths when it comes to like politics, religion. And this past election, I found out that everyone had voted for Trump. And my mom too, which I was kind of surprised. And then so anyways, I was in the car and I was just so upset, and I was just venting to my dad. I turned to my dad, we were driving somewhere, and I'm like, can you believe everyone voted for Trump in the house? And there was just this silence. And I turned to him and I was like, wait, who did you vote for? And then the silence said everything.
Yeah, that's like, what I'm saying. The silence says everything, doesn't it?
I was like, you? I was like, why? Like, I just could. He's like, well, a lot of the main reasonings I got was like financial, economic. You know, that was one of the big points. Like, well, and from my dad's perspective, it was like, well, he's the one that seems like the one who's not going to take us to war.
Well,
anywho. The thing about my dad, though, is he did regret his vote within a week. And my mom did, too, within about a month. As far as my siblings, I don't know. And we don't really talk about it too much because we know where that's going to go.
Same
so
here.
kind of like what you said. It's kind of, you kind of learn to just accept people for where they're at and what they believe. And honestly, that has been kind of like a lot of the inner work for me too, is like, you know, you can't no one's black and white, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just because this person voted for Trump doesn't equal, like, they're all this, especially because I love my family and I know my family.
Yeah.
I know my brother's a good guy. I know my sisters.
Yeah.
You know, I know them. They're good people. So it's kind of helped me kind of take myself out of also being reactive to political stuff. You know what I mean? Because I don't know. I don't have all the answers.
Yeah.
But the best thing I can do is to educate myself, educate them if I can, and to try not to be emotionally reactive. Because I think whenever that does happen, which when we get into arguments, it does. I do end up getting very emotional and passionate. At that point, it's almost like game over, because when one is being angry and passionate and emotional, people are not getting what you're saying. They're only getting your energy. So it's always, for me, I think whenever I have an effect on my family with when trying to like communicate what my perspective is on politics, is when it comes from when I'm like neutral, when I'm like at ease, and I'm not angry, and I can just be like, well, actually, you know what, did you know this, and like just kind of give them some information.
That's how I feel too, because I used to be very, very reactive when I was younger with Bush, and then now coming here, I'm like, I'm learning to agree to disagree. Because it's I can make she makes little snide comment, my aunt, she's very, and I thought she would change after seeing things, and she is still in the same mindset, and it's just like, she's a lost cause too. I'm like, you know, but I have to agree to disagree, and I still love my aunt, but I know there's no changing, you know, that something really just, I don't know what has to happen for them to realize what is going on, but it's hard. It's tough.
It is hard. Yeah. And it's kind of, you know, what's upsetting to me is that somehow the people at the lowest totem, at the lowest part of the totem pole, are the villains.
Yeah.
Like the people with the least power are suddenly the ones that are the villains, the victims, the ones that we need to get rid of.
Right.
I don't know how we got here, but this is where we are.
Yeah.
How, why are we here? Like, I think to me, this is kind of a, that's what's troubling me the most. It's like all of a sudden we're attacking trans people. Why are we attacking trans people? Like they're the most vulnerable, and there's like less than 1% of them. Why are we making this a thing? Why is this
and the highest suicide rate, you know what I mean?
The highest suicide rate. Like what are we doing here? Like why they're not an issue. What, this should be nothing.
It's all propaganda. It's just all something for, you know, it's to appease propaganda. It's to appease all the Bible thumpers and feel like, he's doing what the Bible says, and then he has his hidden agenda. So, but we can tell that to the, and the proof is in the pudding. And I remember the Bush days, you know, talking about things, and then years later, it's like, oh yeah, Tanya was right. I was like, I told you. So unfortunately we have to kind of, we have to wait and try to hope we all, you know, survive.
So that has been the case for me too when it comes to certain issues with my family, because they are religious, you know. Takes them a little while, because they're perceiving everything through that lens, and that is kind of what I think the issue is in the current climate now, is that everyone's looking at each other through a lens. We're not looking at each other through humanity. We're looking at each other through, oh, what do you believe, what are you about, like, and we put each other in boxes, and then it's all very much, like you said, propaganda. We're being kind of like manipulated to think certain things about certain people. And if we're not doing our due diligence of educating ourselves, of actually like doing the work and being empathetic, and really like thinking about these issues, then we are going to be manipulated. You know what I mean? And unfortunately, people are in a place where they can easily be manipulated. And that's what I'm seeing.
And thank you, Alan. And that is a perfect way to end this. And I appreciate you. It was very hard for me to find someone to interview, and I'm super thankful that you allowed me to do this.
And it's my pleasure.
Super excited to watch more short films and see you in commercials and everything and movies. I love I want to see the more furniture commercial. I want to see it. But thank you, Alan. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Thanks.